Her name is Shannon Lail. She is 22 years old, and we met about a little over a year ago and fell in love first sight.
He's a new police officer, just graduated from college. He's soon to be married. We've asked Max Wooten to tell us about his new career and his courtship of a beautiful young lady as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and Whitney Doe, an interesting interview with a young man soon to be married, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Sing this praise song with us. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled, An Unexpected Reminder. It is written by Lou Smalley Christie of Vermont. Lou writes, To whom can you grant forgiveness today? The scripture reference is Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Filling billing notes on projects in progress was a monotonous job. As a temporary part-time clerk in a large accounting firm, I found this tedious task often assigned to me. One January afternoon, I suddenly became aware that the forms I had just started to file were very different from previous ones. These forms had W.O. written on the bottom lines where the dollar figure usually appears. All of them came from one senior partner. All of them bore warm notes to the clients telling them their debits to the firm had been written off and wished them a happy, less financially troubled new year. My routine task became a joyful one as I thought about the relief the clients would feel as they read these notes. I also thought about the senior partner who wrote off the debts. Surely giving these gifts to others must have brought him joy as well. Warmed by thoughts of these debts quietly forgiven, I was reminded of the joy and the challenge in God's forgiveness. It is a blessing we sometimes take for granted. It is a gift we often forget to pass on. To whom can you grant forgiveness today? May we pray. We thank you, O God, for the forgiveness you promised to us and for the opportunities to forgive others in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time.
I'm happy to welcome back
to Methodist Hour, Max Wooten, who is a young man just graduated from Christian University in Pensacola, Florida, having majored in what, Max?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. So you were preparing for the career that you're launching right now. Tell us again what you're going to do for your life's career.
I have chosen to be a police officer in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Great. And I'm so glad that they hired you and took you on. I think they just took one look at you and they said, hey, this guy's great.
I don't know about that, but I'd like to think so.
You're so tall and athletic, and you're going to make a great policeman. I can see. I haven't seen you in the uniform yet, but you're going to look great.
Well, thank you.
So you applied, and they accepted you, right?
Yes, sir. It took about almost 6 to 7 months for the whole application process to occur. And I was hired on August 16th of 2004.
So they're very careful then about who they choose.
Yes, sir. Very.
You just can't walk in and apply and get the job.
No, it's a very detailed background investigation that goes along
with
it.
Wow. So what's the process? What are you doing now?
I'm currently in what we call a police academy. I've been there since August 16th and will graduate February 25th.
Yes. And you said on the last week's broadcast, you said that you chose this career because you wanted to serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to do something where you felt you could be a witness for Christ.
Yes, sir. I felt that this career would be a perfect opportunity to share my testimony and my faith in Christ to everyone I come in contact with.
Great, great. And I'm sure that you will, and you will be a blessing. Now, it's not the safest career in the world. There's some danger involved in being a policeman, isn't there?
Yes, sir. There is a certain amount of danger that's involved, but I know who my Father is and who protects me.
You have a heavenly Father.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and by the way, you have a great earthly Father, too.
Well, thank
who
you.
Knows Christ.
Yes, sir.
Steve, your father's name, Steve. Yes, all right, Max Wooten. And so you will soon finish your basic training. Is that what you call it?
It's basic law enforcement training, yes, sir.
Yes, and then you'll be a full-fledged policeman.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested to know, do you take an oath like you're getting sworn into the Army? Do you take an oath or something like that?
Yes, sir. On graduation day, we do have to recite an oath. It's something that all police officers have to recite, whether before they're sworn in.
Yes, that would be universal, I guess, in just about any police force, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right, and then, Max, another exciting thing. You're going to get into this policeman's uniform and begin to uphold the law and try to help people in that way. I happen to know that you're in love with a beautiful young lady.
Yes, sir.
What's her name?
Her name is Shannon Lale. She is 22 years old, and we met about a little over a year ago and fell in love at first sight.
Uh-oh, love at first sight. Now, you have to be careful of that, but I know you're very prayerful and careful in your choice and your relationship. And again, Max, as in your college choice and then your career choice, you want to honor God in your upcoming marriage, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And tell us about Shannon.
We met about a year ago, and we've dated while I was at school. And the time I was at school, it allowed us to grow closer together through communication.
Yes.
We were so far apart, yet we were
How did
just
you
a
communicate?
Phone call away.
Writing mainly or talking on the phone?
Talking on the phone. and it allowed us to build a great communication between the two of us.
Yes.
Without being able to see each other.
Yes. And Shannon is very active in her church, as you are.
She is in charge of one of the children's groups that she teaches at church.
Good. I've seen Shannon, and she's tall and beautiful.
Very beautiful.
And that's terrific. So when is the wedding to be?
October 15, 2005.
You're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Very much so.
You're going to be married in Shannon's church?
Yes, sir. And we attend two different churches, but we have chosen to be married in her church.
Yes. Well, that's usually the case. The groom goes to the bride's church and for the wedding, and that's terrific. Well, Max, I'm sure our listeners will be praying for you
that you'll have a glorious career and a marvelous marriage to this beautiful young lady, Shannon. What's Shannon's last name again?
Lail.
How do you spell that?
L-A-I-L. Shannon Lail.
That's unusual. L-A-I-L. Wow, I don't think I've ever heard that name before.
It's not a very common name, but it's not going to be Lail for long. So.
That's right. It's going to be changed to Wooten.
That's right.
And she's going to be Shannon Wooten. So I've been talking with a great young man, Max Wooten, and he's about to be married to Shannon. And God bless you, Max. It's been a joy to talk with you, and we appreciate you sharing your faith in Christ.
Thank you. It's been a joy to be here, too.
If he sees when a robin falls from its nest, and he grieves when he sees it die, if he kisses the rose with the morning mist, how much more does he love? And if he cares for the lilies in an open field, and caresses the petals with dew, if he acknowledges the tree when the wind makes it kneel, how much more does he love me and you? How much more than the fragrant rose that he gives life in the spring? Does he love me less than the bird in its nest that does not sow yet soars on the wing? He can speak just one word and calm an and peace be still, calms the rolling sea. He can speak, peace be still, to the storm that's within. That's how much,
that's how much
he really
loves me.
He can speak, peace be still, to the storm that's within. That's how much he really loves me. And you too.
I love that song, and I'm so glad to have been able to record it. How much more? Today's message has an intriguing title, When Doubt Helps. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now, when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, they were sitting there, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen." You know, 70 miles is a long way to go on foot in the hot sun. I mean, 70 miles on foot, day or night, is a long way to go on foot. I could hear the voices of those disciples as they walked along that road. One might have said, what if it's not true? And another, what if it is true? Or how will we know if it's him? Oh, you'll know, you'll know. You see, these 11 disciples were trotting along the dusty hot road from Jerusalem to Galilee, and it is at least 70 miles from Jerusalem to Galilee, and they had no proof that Jesus would even be there. You know, they had seen him beaten and hanging on a cross, and they were there when he was removed from the cross and placed into that stone grave that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. Oh, Mary Magdalene and other Mary claimed they had seen and told them disciples that they met him on some mountain, but the last time they saw Jesus, he was dead. Now, don't forget, stories had already begun to be spread across Jerusalem and all around it. The disciples came in the middle of the night, waited till the guards were asleep, stole the body, and then they began to tell the stories of Jesus being crucified and that he had been raised from the dead. Everybody in town was beginning to laugh at them. You know what happened, really? The elders who were supposed to look for Jesus, the elders and the chief priests of the Jewish synagogue, made up the stories and paid the Roman guards large sums of money to lie about what happened. Can you believe it? Jesus' own people bribing the enemy, the Roman guards, to keep their own people from knowing the truth about God. The disciples were ashamed, they were fearful, and they felt helpless because they knew the story that the guards were telling was a lie, but they had no personal proof. And we're not sure just what mountain or hill Jesus told these forlorn men to climb, but all they knew that the two women were pretty sure that Jesus said that he would meet them there. Can you just imagine the emotional stress on these men? Now, friends, listen, Matthew is about to teach us a very important lesson here. Matthew says, Jesus drew near to them or came to them. That sounds pretty simple, but listen, it has profound meaning. Only two places in Matthew does he use the words that mean Jesus came near to them. Usually it's the other way around. Everyone is going to Jesus, but Matthew wants us to know that Jesus was physically present with these disciples. This phrase clearly points out that Jesus was not there as some heavenly trance. He was not there as a figment of their imagination. It means he was there. Now think of this story as though it happened to you. You are finally to an assigned hill, and it's like a bad dream, and you want to wake up. There's nobody there, and Matthew says, Jesus came near to them. He was actually there. For some, it was like their favorite team winning the championship. They must have cheered and yelled and screamed and just hollered, and some just fell down on their faces and worshipped him. They began to realize that everything he told them was true and he'd been raised. Others doubted. Now stop just a minute. When Matthew uses the word doubted here, it does not mean what you and I usually think it means. You and I think they just didn't believe, but that's not at all what Matthew means here. It means that they were struggling against several understandings about what was going on. They were sort of double-minded. They were torn between running away and believing it all. They had already done that once, and it almost got them killed. I think Matthew wants us to know that some of these disciples were so serious about their commitment that they quickly responded to the presence of Jesus and worshipped him. There were also others there who were so serious that they were thinking through what the implications might be if all of this was really true, if they went all the way. And you need to do that when you become a Christian. You need to understand this is a lifetime commitment. You know, it's so often hard for you and me to understand through the eyes of those who we read about. For example, Jesus said to them, go make disciples of all nations. Well, all nations meant to the Jews that they must go to all Gentiles. To Americans, it means we have to go outside of the United States, to China, to Africa, to Russia, to Korea, to Vietnam, wherever it has to be, to Iraq, any place. I mean, can you think about that? Not only to witness to them, but we must baptize them and teach them about Jesus. Jesus said you have the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, did you realize that up until now the disciples had virtually nothing to do with baptizing? Now, this new sacrament would identify all who received it as believers. It would be a kind of coronation, but it meant that they would have to travel places that they were even forbidden to go outside of their culture. And just think of the risk. Did you notice that when those men came down off that mountain, every last one of them said with a clear yes to the call on their lives. Doubts were put aside and they took action. Peter left that hillside praising God and fearlessly teaching, and he went baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's important to remember that during the reign of Nero, sometime around 64 AD, Peter was martyred for his belief. He was crucified upside down. Some quoted him as saying, "If you're going to crucify me, please hang me upside down out of reverence for my Lord." History claims that St. Peter's Church in Rome is the site of the tomb of Peter. Now, we do not know all the history of these disciples. We do know that some of them were beheaded, some were exiled. All had a harsh life as the result of their testimony of faith in Christ. But friends, let me put a line under this. Because of their lives, there is hope for the world today. Several years ago, I was attending a meeting on evangelism strategies for our city. The meeting was held at the Sunday School classroom at the Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. It was evening, and the meeting was long and kind of dry, and my mind was sort of wandering off from our speaker's voice. And as I looked around the room, I noticed a picture of a man standing in front of a small single-engine airplane. It was an oil painting. It was a large picture, and I could see some sort of a brass plaque on the bottom of the frame. I was pointing the painting out to one of the other persons in our meeting, and I said, "Who do you suppose that is?" Well, he said, "It's probably some rich guy who gave a bunch of money to the church." Well, you know, we say those kind of things. But as the meeting closed, I walked over to the painting, and I have an avid interest in flying, and I was very interested in what happened. Well, a very distinguished-looking woman came over, and she said, "I heard you talking about this painting. Do you know who that is?" "No, ma'am, I don't." "His name is Burley Law. He was a missionary in Africa. He flew his plane way back in the bush country. He delivered food and medicine," she said, "and he took all kinds of supplies to hundreds of natives and told them about Christ. One afternoon, he was responding for a plea for medical supplies, and when he landed his plane, the very natives who he had helped stood him up against his plane and shot him to death. His life has a big influence," she said. "It's had a big influence on a lot of people in this church." I said, "I've never met Burley Law, but you know, I've met his wife, and she's had a big influence on me and my family. She came to our parsonage in Tallahassee, Florida. It was my first church. She came at a time when we were very discouraged. But you know, her witness of faith and her witness of care and reaffirmation for our decision, her ministry, was so incredible. That was almost 30 years ago, and you know, it's still a witness to me today. I remember a young man, Tom Stamps, one of our kids in high school. Tom finished high school, and then he finished college. And like all parents, they want him to find a good job and get a wife and settle down. But Tom had been active in his youth group at church, and he had a passion for helping people. He went for a two-year stint with the Peace Corps. He went to a place in the Truk Islands. The actual name is Chuk. It's a set of small islands near Micronesia. They're located north of Australia, I think, and east of the Philippines. Tom went there as a way of learning about other people in his world and responding to the call of Christ on his life. You know, I saw his dad a couple of weeks ago at our Rotary meeting, and I asked about how's Tom doing, and he said, "Well, Tom finishes medical school this year. You know, I suspect that Tom, though he wants to get married, he'll probably go someplace way out there somewhere and serve as a medical missionary for a while. His heart is wanting to serve Christ." Made me think of a good friend of mine, Lee Johnson. Lee is the CEO of a large construction company here in Atlanta, one of the top companies. They do business all over the southeastern United States. Lee, a few years ago, got involved in doing mission work to Mexico. I think Lee now is on his fifth or sixth mission trip, and he's going to Russia sometime later this year. I was at a party last night, a birthday party for Lee, and his business partner was there, and his business partner said, "You know, there's been a change in Lee's life. I've seen in him a transformed life." He said, "It's amazing to see what Christ does in a human life." You see, good friends, I believe that when those men came down from that mountain, they had been baptized with God's Spirit. They were transformed, and it was their coronation. And because they did that, you and I can receive that today and take change wherever we go. Isn't that incredible? Just think if we would all respond. Amen.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
John Wolfe, we thank you for that message on the Holy Spirit in our lives. John, give us your further word.
Thank you very much, Whit. You know, as I think about Lee, I've just captured last night thinking about being with him and seeing his family. They have four children and just an incredible group of people. And they're all so focused on mission and serving Christ. But the amazing thing to me was, you know, sometimes people will respond and they'll be helpful and all of that. But the transformation that's happened in this man's life. There have been times already that he's been willing to just leave his business and go into full-time mission work. But he's got a mission field in the business world, too. You see, every place we go is a place for us to witness, because the light of Christ is in our lives. Isn't that true, Whit?
It is indeed, John Wolfe. The light of Christ has come into thousands of lives, and it's our inner light, a light that reflects in our outer behavior. Christ is risen, Christ is alive, and he comes to dwell in every heart that will welcome him. Dear listener, we're praying for you, that you may personally receive Christ and crown him Lord of your life. You will reflect God's amazing grace, and you will bless every life you touch. Christianity is not merely a religion and a ritual. Genuine Christianity is a relationship with God. You can know him and fellowship with him on a daily basis. The secret is to invite Christ into your life and crown him Lord. Fall on your knees and receive him today. We're praying for you.
Whit, before we close, I'm going to share one more thing with our listeners. You know, in my devotion this morning, I was reading in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Part of the lesson was about how intensely that small church was praying for the Apostle Peter. Peter then was in prison about to be beheaded. As it worked out, an angel came to Peter and he was miraculously freed. But you know what stuck out in my mind was the power of the prayer of those people in that small church. They prayed for Peter and their church and their families, and you know the church grew in spite of all the pressure they were under from King Herod. Now, I don't know about you, but in these days of viruses and politics and jobs and schools and so much more, I feel so helpless often to know how to feel or how to react. My dear friend Kendall spent a month in a monastery in Conyers, Georgia. While Kendall was there, he said there was complete silence, no talking to anyone, but they did have prayer 5 times a day. He said after a few days, he ran out of things to pray about, but it was then he learned the art of listening, just sitting quietly expecting to hear from God. He said it changed his life. Maybe just adding some listening time to our prayers, even 5 extra minutes, would help us all. You know what? It has really helped me a lot. It's changed me. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. Facebook, it's Methodist Hour International. Or call or text me at 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. His grace and peace flood all over you.
And let us invite you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.